Bhagavad Gita is chapter 18. Professional renunciation, text number 13. Text number 11. Ihi deha vritha sakyam. Yaktim karma sheshataha. Esu karma pala. Tyagi. Satyagitya pidiyate. Never. He certainly. Deha brita. Body and body. Satyam. Is possible. Tyaktum. To be renounced. Harmani. Activities. Asheshataha. Altogether. Ya. Anyone who. To but karma of work, pala of the result, tyagi the renouncer, saha he tyagi the renouncer, iti thus abhidhiyate is said. Translation of Verb Boy by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. It is indeed impossible for the embodied soul to give up all activities, but he who renounces the fruits of action is called one who is truly renounced. Verb Boy. It is said in the Bhagavad Gita that one can never give up work at any time. Therefore, he who works for Krishna does not enjoy the fruit of results, who offering everything to Krishna is actually a renouncer. There are many members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness who work very hard in their office or in the factory or some other place. Whatever they earn, they give to the society. Such highly elevated souls are actually sannyasis and are situated in the renounced order of life. It's clearly outlined here how to renounce the fruits of work and for what purpose fruits should be renounced. So the text again. Nehi deha vritha sakyam yaktvam karma nasheshataha yastu karma pala tyagi satyagi tyapidiyate. It is indeed impossible for the embodied being to give up all activities, but who renounces the fruits of action is called one who is truly renounced. Krishna will go through a long explanation of, we could say, Karma Yoga, then Jnana Yoga. He analyzes everything in the 18th chapter in terms of the three modes of material nature. And the idea is that we should try to come to the mode of goodness. Because in goodness, we can see things properly, we can understand things properly, we experience things as they actually are. Just like, for instance, if you want to eat a nice meal of prasadam, the best thing to do is to have a nice clean tongue. Now, if you put a glove on your tongue and you try to eat the prasadam, it's not very pleasant. What can you really taste what the food is actually like? So in the same way, this body, not the body itself, but the coverings in the body, because the body is simply made out of the gross and subtle material elements, but it's mixed up with the three modes. And the mode of ignorance are spiritual senses, because we experience everything through our spiritual senses, is covered the most. In other words, our actual perception of reality is the most diminished. And the mode of passion is less diminished. But in the mode of goodness and the progressively higher and higher stages of pure goodness, free from all ignorance and passion, means that we actually experience things through our spiritual senses. And that's how one can actually experience reality, which is Krishna consciousness. In other words, everything and everyone is non-different from Krishna actually. Simultaneously one, but different. And Krishna is the reservoir of all pleasure. is reservoir of all bliss, of all knowledge, eternally. And he emanates not just simply pleasure. Pleasure means love and affection towards all living entities. So when our senses are uncovered, then we can actually experience what Krishna consciousness is actually like. Now, the main obstacle is because we identify ourselves with these gross and subtle bodies, and they have so many needs, or at least we think they have needs. We have so many desires in relation to this gross and subtle body, and on the basis of those desires, we're working. Now, working can be very simple, simple life. That is, doing what's only necessary so that we can maintain the body in terms of eating and sleeping, etc. But generally the spirit soul has much more ambition than just simple living. So every desire we have accompanies with the idea that we have to control the material nature and in order to enjoy it. So then our desires to control and enjoy increase. But the problem is that every desire to control and enjoy also covers our consciousness. Therefore, Maharaj Shabhai says, Nunam pramata kurute vikarma, edindriya pitya apinoti, nisadamanye yata apmanoyam, asanati kleshida ashadeha. The word nunam means indeed, so he was surprised. Nunam pramata. That all of us were more or less crazy. Because if you tell everyone they're crazy, anyone they're crazy, they'll become insulted. But we are crazy. Just like, for instance, if you went to a Halloween, into a party, and everyone had a disguise on, someone was dressed as Dracula, someone was dressed as Frankenstein, someone was a good fairy, someone was the bad fairy. So in that party, everyone is assuming that they're a certain role. But actually, we know that they're not their role. It's just temporary disguise they put on. Simply, this putting on these material bodies is nothing but a temporary covering for our real self, our real identity. But because we identify ourselves, just like if someone identified themselves as Frankenstein or Dracula, and in the party they kept on looking at your neck, feeling thirsty, you conclude that they're a little crazy, that they're taking their role as Dracula so seriously in this costume party that they're actually thirsting after your neck. See, then if they went for your neck, you'd certainly call the police and have them taken away. Because they're crazy. Now, if they were actually Dracula, they'd be excused because everyone needs its food. But since they're just imagining themselves to be Dracula, they're considered to be crazy. So similarly, because we're imagining ourselves with this body, we're also crazy. But because we're in the midst of all these other crazy people, therefore it's perfectly normal to be crazy. But the reality is that we're spiritual beings with a spiritual identity, and we have to work our way towards spiritual realization. That doesn't mean we're going to suddenly become self-realized overnight, but at least we have to accept that there's a better state of awareness that we're at now at the present, and there's a process by which we can achieve it. So here Krishna is saying the most elemental thing is don't be attached to the results of our work. Now everyone knows whatever we have, there's a feeling of attachment towards it. That if we lost the pen, we'd feel very bad. My pen, where's my pen? You took my pen. I didn't take your pen. Someone took my pen. That we feel emotionally attached. What's the speak of a pen, our house, our friends, our children, our body? We have so much absorbed, identifying with these things that we feel attachment to. And then when we work on the basis of that attachment, it becomes stronger. Just like if you don't have a pen, or say you didn't have something, you don't feel attached to it. If you're driving someone's car and someone crashes into the car, if it's not your car, you don't really care very much. You may pat the person on the back, oh, don't feel so bad. Because you don't feel bad, because it's not your car. But the person who thinks himself to be the owner of the car, then he feels quite bad that someone hit his car. So similarly, if we don't have something, we won't be attached to losing it. And if we have something, and then we work hard to get it, which is painful to get it, but then when we get it, then we're always fearful of losing it. And guess what? Whatever we have, we're destined to lose. Sounds pretty pessimistic, doesn't it? Whatever we have, including our body, we're destined to lose. So we're making ourselves unhappy in the future because we're attached to the things in the present. Now, we all have great hopes because we're going to live so long. We're going to live hundreds and hundreds of years in this body, so we might as well, you know, a little attachment is not so bad. But actually, we're not going to live that long in this body. Our stay in this body in Kali Yuga is so short that even the demigods are amazed at how these souls are attached to these such a temporary existence. So the result is here, Krishna is saying, work, do whatever you have to do, but do it for me. Because we have to do it for something. Either we do it for our husband or our wife or for our pet dog. We have to do it for someone, so why not do it for Krishna? And if Krishna is the proprietor of everything, then the material nature will let us off. It won't disturb us. So one can see that practically if one tries that out. Do something for Krishna without attachment. And the result is that one actually feels good. Because one can actually feel Krishna a little bit more. One is more closer to the spiritual atmosphere. And the spiritual atmosphere, there's only happiness. And the material world, I mean, the more we get here, and as a matter of fact, the nicer we, the more we hanker, the more for something that we think will make us happy, the more we suffer. And the nicer is that whatever we get, then we suffer even more when we lose it. It's like when I was in India, going to the Iyengar Center in Pune every morning. Yudhaya Chaitanya Guru, another devotee, and Mahendra Guru, myself, would go every morning. And on the way, we always pass by the people sleeping on the street. Because there's quite a bit of Mumbai, there's quite a bit of people sleeping on the street. But actually, those people were probably happier than most of the people in Mumbai. If you go to Mumbai, it's quite an unpleasant place to be. So crowded, so many people running back and forth, so much noise. But the people who sleep on the street, they had nothing to worry about. They didn't have to pay any rent. They didn't have to worry about their prestige, about people insulting them. They didn't have to worry about anything. They just had to make sure that they got their little space there to sleep on. And then their problem was solved. And everyone else in Mumbai was running back and forth, trying to get a nice, you know, enough money so they can get a comfortable bed to sleep in. And they're always uncomfortable for most of the day, running back and forth in the pollution. And in the hustle and bustle, they're putting themselves into so much anxiety just so they can go to sleep at night. Well, if you're asleep at night, how many people really consider the bed that they're sleeping in at night? Do you ever go to sleep at night and you think, well, I'm doing pretty good here. I'm sleeping in a nice bed. As soon as you go to sleep, which takes around 2 seconds if you're fortunate, you forget about what bed you're in. So all this working hard to get a nice bed is good for around 2 seconds. Then after that, you don't care. But if you work so hard and you have so much anxiety to pay for the rent, pay for the children, pay for the education, pay for this and pay for that, so you can have a nice bed to sleep at night, you can't sleep at night because you're too worried about all these things you got to pay for. And the person who has nothing, he has nothing to lose, he's completely free from anxiety because he doesn't care, he doesn't work, he doesn't pay for anything. So he goes to sleep right away. And he doesn't wake up dreaming about not paying the bills for the bed. They're taking my bed away. What am I going to do? So the aim is, we're not about to do that. I don't think any of us are enthusiastic to go to Mumbai and sleep on the street there to solve our problems. Although that time is coming for some people, for a lot of people. But what we can do is offer everything to Krishna while we have the chance. In other words, do whatever, not think this is my bed, not think that this belongs to me, this belongs to me. Think that this belongs to Krishna and utilize for Krishna. So we think about Krishna. And if we think about Krishna, then we'll be transported to another platform of awareness. Thinking about Krishna means that there's a different level of activities going on, which is simply in the realm of bliss and love, eternally, and full, ever-increasing consciousness. That possibility is there in our heart if we turn into onto channel Krishna within the heart and think about Him. And if we can't think about Him, that's all right. At least if we do something for Him, then eventually Krishna will appear in His heart, in our heart, because of our sincere desire to please Him. We can't force Krishna to appear in our heart because He's God. But if we please Him, He'll appear automatically by His own will within our heart. We'll remember Him. And then we'll experience what real exchange of love is, because that's what Krishna's anxious for. If we do something to please Him, then He'll appear within our minds and our consciousness, and He'll give us the experience of His love, and our love will grow ever more. And if we don't feel great love for Krishna, still if we do it, at least knowing that we're supposed to please Krishna, that that's who we're supposed to be pleasing, because He's the owner of everything, everything here belongs to Him. So we should try to please Him, because His mission is the most benevolent mission. He wants everyone to realize they're eternal. He wants everyone to realize how happy they can be. He wants everyone to be aware of everything is ultimately wonderful. So that's what He wants. He wants the best for everyone. And anyone who doesn't agree with Krishna, to one degree or another, they're less auspicious than Krishna would be. Less auspicious activities. Anything done in Krishna consciousness, under the direction of Krishna and His representatives, is totally auspicious. And everything else may apparently be auspicious, but it cannot be as auspicious as trying to please Krishna and His devotees. Everything else is secondary. Or, even worse than secondary, everything else can be, is more or less actually inauspicious. Because the only real auspicious position for ourselves is in the land of bliss and knowledge, eternal bliss and knowledge. Every place else is inauspicious for us. They may be less inauspicious, which means less painful. Less painful in the material world means happier. But actually, it's all painful. And the only real happiness is found in spiritual consciousness, trying to please Krishna, which we can do even here. We don't have to go to Goloka Vrindavan. Just here, right now, if we try to please Krishna, then we'll be blissful. Because Krishna will appear to us, and Krishna's wherever Krishna goes is Vrindavan, and Vrindavan is the total atmosphere of bliss, love, and eternality forever. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Yes.
Hare Krishna. I was thinking there is this flood in Samani Ashram. I was thinking what should we do for this big flood? There was this flood in...
Flood. Teach the people how to swim. What to do with you? Well, we distribute prasada. We chant Hare Krishna. We do the same thing we always do for everyone. What can you do? The whole world is full of karmic reactions. And we're also part of those karmic reactions. Whatever is going on, we should understand is due to people's past activities. Now that doesn't mean we're insensitive, but we want to help people so they don't go through another flood in their next lifetime. And we don't have to go through it with them. Because if you go there and do charitable activities, even in the mode of goodness, they're going to have to come back and they're going to have to help you when you go through the flood. On the other hand, what we do, wherever we go, whether it's flood people or not, whatever, of course, if there's something to need, then we're not insensitive, because they're also, we're paraduka duki. We're unhappy when we see others unhappy. So we go there and distribute prasadam, chant the holy name, help them whatever we can, but in Krishna consciousness. Give them prasadam, give them the holy name, give them some knowledge. So they don't have to go through this miserable material existence again. Other than that, we just give them food and we don't give them Krishna consciousness, or give them whatever and we don't give them Krishna consciousness. It's like blowing on a boil. It's temporary relief, but they have to go through more karmic reactions. Why should we waste our time? Because we waste so much time, which is a problem anyhow. But why should we waste any more time without giving them the real solution to the problem? The real solution is to help them become Krishna conscious. So we should become Krishna conscious so we can help them become Krishna conscious. And in the meantime, prasadam is there. But we should tell them it's from Krishna. We should also go and tell them why they're having these problems. And if they don't want to hear, then so many other people will go and help them too, hopefully. But we shouldn't lose our Krishna consciousness. We shouldn't forget what actually the solution to their problems are. The same solution to our problems. Anything else? Because people will say you're insensitive, but actually they're in ignorance. Because we're in ignorance also, that's another thing. But at least we know we're in ignorance. And we know the solution to how to get out of ignorance. So that we should inform others so that they don't have to go through their suffering anymore. And if they don't want to hear, then what can we do? If they want to criticize us, if people are in a jail, they're breaking bricks, and someone sees that some prisoner is not breaking bricks, and they say, well, why are you breaking bricks? Doing something like all the rest of us are doing. Because breaking bricks is a waste of time. So simply, without participating in the ultimate solution with Krishna consciousness, then what everyone is doing is just a waste of time. Then we do something very nice to people, as I said, then they're going to have to come back and repent us. Laws of karma apply everywhere. So we feed them this lifetime, we'll clothe them, whatever, and then they have to come back and pay us back. Sometimes they have to pay us back more than we gave them. So we're involved in karmic reactions, although they're good karmic reactions. But then we have to take birth again to receive the good results of our karmic good activities. And that's suffering. And they have to take birth again too, to help us this time, pay us back. Anything else? All right, thank you very much. Krandaraj Bhagavad Gita.